when one talks in a big picture way about the challenges confronting orthodoxy in the United States, I think that there are four in a very big picture way. One of them is Hakamat Medinat Yisrael, the reestablishment of the State of Israel. Another is changing technology with regards to Shabbat and many other issues. Another of them are women's issues. Not going to talk about that either. The fourth, which we're going to touch on in a detail here, is our relationship with Western democracies and the civil society that we're a part of. Orthodox Judaism is living in a 70-year experiment in a unique society. We are open, honest, and full participants in the secular society of the United States. We're welcomed as equals. The government doesn't discriminate against us. We perceive civil participation to be important. We vote. We lobby. The government cares. And we participate as equals in our system of government. We wish to be good citizens. That's so different than life in Hungary 100 years ago or 150 years ago, where we certainly did not perceive that we were welcome participants in the government. We thought the government was totalitarian and dishonest. We didn't really think Dina de Malchusedina applied. We were unwelcomed residents in a land that ultimately would murder us. In the United States, we're in an experiment with being good citizens and how to interact with being good citizens. Part of that is a conversation about secular holidays. And I want to have the beginnings of that conversation now to talk about how religious Jews integrate into the calendar of American life, how we respond to celebrations of things like July 4th or Thanksgiving or Valentine's Day or Halloween, holidays that have become part of the fabric of American culture without a clear Christian identity. And this problem, so to speak, I don't know if it's a problem, this reality is simply part of the structure of our American society. How we're going to participate is somewhat a measure of our relationship with the grand experiment called American democracies. So pressing was the issue of Thanksgiving celebrations, you should know, that Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe wrote 5 tshuvot about it. It was obviously an issue that pressed in his society, in our society as well, because Rav Moshe sensed this was part of the American experience. And Rav Moshe wanted Jews to economically integrate enough that they could be successful, and they felt that participating in these secular holidays was important. The Jews in Hungary or Lithuania or Russia felt no interest or desire in participating in these rituals in their home countries. They weren't invited by the secular government. And they didn't perceive themselves to be welcome participants in that society. We are seeking to delineate halachic boundaries exactly because we perceive ourselves to be part of this society. 3 significant halachic views are voiced on the celebration of Thanksgiving in halachic literature. The first is by Rav Huttner, who lays out the strictest view. Rav Huttner says it's a violation of b'chukoseim lo seilechu, of adopting Gentile practices to celebrate any holiday that follows the secular calendar, and that using the secular calendar as a touchstone for any celebration of any type is wrong. He felt a violation of b'chukoseim. So strongly did Rav Huttner feel this way that Rav Huttner, when asked by his Talmidim about what time to schedule Sunday morning davening, Rav Huttner felt very strongly that you should schedule Sunday morning shacharis the same time that you schedule Monday morning shacharis and Tuesday morning shacharis, and that even marking the fact that normal Americans don't work on Sunday was a mistake, and that if shacharis was every morning at 6:20 in your shul because people needed to go off to work, on Sunday shacharis should be at 6:20 as well. Because we shouldn't allow ourselves to be marked either by the non-Jewish calendar or the non-Jewish weekly cycle life. And that to allow ourselves to construct a society where Sunday is a day of rest was an inherent adoption, Rav Huttner felt, of a B'chukoseim problem, of adopting Gentile practices. And he certainly felt this way about celebrating Thanksgiving or July 4th or any of these American holidays. And it wasn't important to him whether the origins were Gentile or American. He felt it was sufficient that they didn't follow the Jewish calendar to make them a B'chukoseim problem. And indeed, Chaim Berlin ran for decades under Rav Huttner's leadership completely immune to the secular calendar. Shir ran when Shir ran, and if the schedule was every Tuesday there was a Chabura, even if this was a Tuesday that was New Year's Day, Chabura ran that way, and that Rav Huttner tried his hardest to simply ignore the secular calendar that ran around him. That's a certain approach among contemporary halachic authorities, which is that you should simply, it's a violation of halacha to participate in the secular calendar in any significant way. We should try to structure our life around the Jewish calendar and pay no attention to the secular calendar. I think that Orthodox practice has not adopted Rav Huttner's view, not merely because it's hard, but because Rav Huttner's view misses a central distinction which we understand, which is there is a difference as a matter of halacha between a secular calendar and a Gentile calendar, and that even though the numerical dating of our calendar starts with a Christian origin, nonetheless, the calendar that's used in the United States is at its core a secular calendar, and that while Rav Huttner might be right with regards to Christmas, or perhaps even New Year's, Rav Huttner's analysis of the secular model, of the secular calendar, isn't incredibly persuasive when it comes to something like July 4th. I'll try my best to hold questions till the end. I'm sorry. That's a good policy. So Rav Huttner's view it completely immunizes all of the Jewish tradition, all of our cycle from the secular calendar, and it compels the running of institutions immune to the secular reality. Yeshiva University certainly does not conduct itself that way. When you stop and look at the calendar, it reflects the fact that there is a secular world out there that runs in a certain model, and distancing yourself from that secular model is hard. And I don't think it's required as a matter of halacha to do so. So in the Young Israel that I founded, davening times are a reflection of people's work schedules, not a reflection of the calendar. We daven late on Sunday because people like to wake up late on Sunday. And we could daven early in the morning, Sunday morning, but fewer people would attend. So we daven late, and when you hear Rav Huttner say, but aren't you really celebrating Sunday? So my answer is as follows. Yes, in the sense that Sunday has become a day of rest for our community. Most of our community members do not work on Sunday like they work on Monday. And so we're scheduling davening to reflect the fact that Sunday is a day of rest. And Rav Huttner was adamantly opposed to a common halachic practice of scheduling simchas on non-Jewish holidays, like having your wedding on Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving Day. Because he felt acknowledging the fact that that was a holiday, and thus a suitable day for a wedding, reflected an incredible adoption of non-Jewish practices. Whereas I think our response to Rav Huttner is, no, 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 the reason why we schedule weddings on Thanksgiving, my oldest son is getting married this Thanksgiving, is a reflection of the fact that, you know what people don't do on Thanksgiving? They don't go to work. So I'm hard pressed to schedule my son's wedding on any random Thursday, because when you schedule a wedding for Thursday at 1 o'clock, people don't show up because they have to go to work. But yet, I'm happy to schedule a wedding Thursday at 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving, because Thursday, 1 o'clock at Thanksgiving, people will come to a wedding. And it's for that reason that we're mimicking the secular calendar, not because we've joined the Christians in the use of the new year. It's because we're reflecting the fact that on federal holidays, people don't go to work. And the truth is that the custom is even to schedule weddings on Christmas Day under this same rationale. The reason why we're celebrating a wedding on Christmas Day is not because we're celebrating Christmas. It's because we're celebrating the fact that people don't go to work on Christmas. And that Rav Huttner's analysis that this is a b'chukos seyem lo seylechu problem is itself, I think, a misunderstanding of what happens on a federal holiday, which is on a federal holiday, people don't go to work. The second view is Rav Moshe's view. Rav Moshe looks at the American calendar, and he tries to draw distinctions between secular holidays and Christian holidays. And indeed, if you look at the Ezra's Torah Luach, the standard Luach that every shul has that's in this shul, the Ezra's Torah Luach notes American holidays. It says on July 4th, Independence Day. But for some reason, on December 25th, it does not say Christmas. And the reason why Rav Moshe adopted this view is Rav Moshe draws a steady distinction between American holidays and Christian holidays that have been Americanized. Now, Rav Moshe is not sure about two American holidays. And he says so very clearly. He says Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, he's not sure of. And the reason why he's not sure of them is he thinks that they both have Christian origins. But when he looks around in the world around him, you know what he sees? No Christian celebration. So Rav Moshe, in both Christmas and in both Thanksgiving and New Year's, says a Baal Nefesh should be strict not to celebrate, even though he thinks Me'ikar Adin, they've become secular holidays in the United States. It happens with regards to New Year's that the transition that Rav Moshe is talking about is exceptionally well established in the halacha. New Year's Day started as a Christian holiday. It's Christ's date of grace, and it's 8 days from Christmas, and it's a well-known Catholic holiday. However, over time, New Year's, and by the way, if you look at the Truma Sedeshin says, and it's quoted by the Ramah, that it's absolutely prohibited to give people New Year's gifts, because New Year's gifts are a form of a Christian celebration. And yet Rav Moshe, writing in the 1950s, says that he's not sure that that's true anymore. And I think here we are 50 years from Rav Moshe's first writing, and we're even more sure that it's not true. However New Year's Day is celebrated, New Year's Day is not celebrated in our society in a Christian way. It might be celebrated in ways that are incompatible with halacha, because it entails drinking and partying, and drinking and partying are foreign to us. But when it comes to the following question, I'm walking into a building, the doorman opens the door, and he says, Merry Christmas to me. So I'm hesitant to respond, Merry Christmas, because I think that that's exactly a form of recognizing another faith that halacha really frowns on. But I respond to him by saying, Happy New Year's. And I don't think the celebration of New Year's in our society anymore has any Christian overtones at all. I say this not for a firm halachic reason, but because I'm a participant in the same Western culture that you are. How many of you look around and think that New Year's Day is still a Christian holiday? Do any of you feel that way? You know, okay, nothing wrong. These are observations about a social reality. Some of you feel that way. It undoubtedly depends on the variety and fundamentalism of the Christian community that's around you. There's no halachic problem with thinking that New Year's Day is a Christian holiday. If we lived in a very intensely Catholic community or place, we would sense this more intensely. I think that, and the third view of Thanksgiving was the Rav's view. The Rav was of the view that it was good to celebrate Thanksgiving, not only like Rav Moshe's view that it was mutter to, but that it was part of the American tradition to celebrate Thanksgiving, and that we were comfortable participants in this tradition. As everybody knows, the Rav used to give early shiur on Thanksgiving Day so that he could end shiur early so he could fly home to have Thanksgiving dinner in Boston. He didn't not give shiur. He didn't not give shiur. He gave shiur early so that people could go home to celebrate. He could go home, not just people. He could go home to celebrate Thanksgiving dinner. There's a very famous story involving the Rav getting wrapped up in shiur one day, and the clock is ticking. And the Rav looks up and says, nobody's leaving the room until we're finished, because he didn't want to stop mid-thought. But the Rav's policy was on Thanksgiving, there was early shiur, so we could fly home to Boston to have Thanksgiving dinner. Again, the reason why I think that the Rav adopted this policy is exactly because the Rav felt that Thanksgiving was a quintessential American holiday, and as a quintessential American holiday, we are comfortable participants in the secular American adventure, and as comfortable participants in the secular American society, we want to participate in these secular rituals as good citizens. And I have no information that adduces this way, but I have every reason to assume that the same thing would be true about July 4th, which is we want to recognize the goodness of American independence, and we do so by celebrating, not in a formal ritual way, not with a Jewish tekes, not with a Jewish ceremony, but by being good citizens and participating in the civil community around us as good citizens. So, in fact, when you stop to reflect on this, you readily see that there are three real forms of celebration that's out there. There are formal events of celebration. There are recognizing the reality and changing the schedule to reflect the fact that today is a day that many people celebrate. And then there's frequently precise ritual food, or other ritual activities. And I think that when you stop to look at them, you see three different halachic views. Rav Huttner was of the view that when you encounter a secular holiday, you have to totally ignore it. Not only can't you participate in a secular celebration, you can't, nor can you eat the ritual food that's assigned to the day. You can't even change the schedule to reflect the fact that it's a secular holiday. It's just to be totally and completely ignored. Rav Moshe, I think, was of the view that certainly you're allowed to participate in the changing of the schedule, and I think he was even of the view that you can participate in the eating of the ritual food, but before you participate in the formal ceremony, you have to be 100% certain that the day is at its core secular. Rav Moshe was not certain about Thanksgiving and not certain about New Year's. In an article I wrote, I expressed the sense that I'm relatively certain about Thanksgiving, and that I think the history of Thanksgiving is robustly secular in the United States, and to the extent that you were taught ritual origins of Thanksgiving, you were taught incorrectly. Thanksgiving is a secular holiday with no Christian overtones at all, but that New Year's Day is a little bit more complex, because New Year's Day has evolved from being a Christian holiday to being a secular holiday. This, in fact, is part of the process of thinking about the prohibition of imitating Gentiles. The halacha is clear that there's a prohibition called chukat hagoyim, of imitating the Gentile practices around you. But when you stop and look at the Rishonim, who are trying to understand what is prohibited, you see three distinctly different views which produce many different halachic views in reality. The first is the view of the Rav, The Ram says the term chukas hagoyim means secular Gentile practices, like Rav Huttner put forward. What it's prohibited to do, the Ram says, is to identify yourself as an Irishman. Forget about being a Jewish Irishman. You're not allowed to identify with a nationality other than Judaism. And the Ram's real view is that you're not allowed to say you're an American. You have to say, you know what you are? A Jew. And the Ram thought that identifying with a nationality was incompatible with identifying with a faith. That's the view of the Ram. The second view is the view of the Gra. The Gra was of the view that Chukas HaGoyim prevented you from adopting any secular practice at all unless it could be rationally explained. And that irrational secular practices, even if they had no Christian origin at all, was prohibited as a matter of halacha. You'll find contemporary Hasidic poskim who say it's prohibited for men to wear a tie. Because wear a tie. Because you know what ties are? They're an irrational secular practice. That's why women don't wear them. They're an irrational secular practice that can't be explained in any way other than a social convention, and it's prohibited for Jews to adopt irrational secular practices, and that irrational secular practices are a chukas hagoyim problem. The Ramah, however, doesn't adopt either of these two views. The Ramah adopts the view that both the Rav and Rav Moshe adopted. The Ramah takes the view that in order for something to be prohibited as a chukas hagoyim, it has to start with a religion other than Judaism. And that chukas hagoyim means, the word goy here doesn't mean nation, like the Ran understands it. And the word chukas doesn't mean irrational practice, like the Gra understands the word chukas. The word goy means religion other than Judaism, and the word chukas means law. According to the Ran, according to the Ramah, in order for a practice to be prohibited under chukas hagoyim, it has to be a religious practice of a faith other than Judaism. And that if it's not a religious practice of a faith other than Judaism, the Ramah holds that we are allowed to adopt it, lock, stock, and barrel. And certainly, if it's a practice that can be rationally explained, so that the reason why people are doing it is because it makes sense to do so, then the Ramah maintains it's never covered by chukas hagoyim. When it's an irrational practice, something that can't be explained, the Ramah maintains that we should stay away from it lest it have Christian origin. But it's important to understand that according to the Ramah, practices that are foreign to Judaism but don't derive from another religion are absolutely not halachically problematic at all. And indeed, the practice in our community is we adopt many secular practices that we find rational and make sense. For example, you'll find poskim who note that women's fashion, even within Orthodoxy, you know what it does? It changes. It changes, and you know, based on what does it change? Not on Judaism. It changes based on secular mores and mores. These are not Gentile secular mores and mores in the sense of derived from Christianity. They're Gentile in the sense of they derive from secular culture. And if women want to wear pink because pink is the in color this year, or green because green is the in color, or whatever other color they show in how women are dressing out there. Lachic authorities say that's not problematic. The culture that drives the secular fashion world is not Catholic, and it's not Protestant. It's secular, and so imitating secular fashion norms, whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, or promotes modest behavior or immodest behavior, or is a foolish waste of money, all of these factors are out there, but it's not a problem of chukas hagoyim for women to want to dress the way a nicely dressed women dress out there. Indeed, if you look around in our community, it's normal. It's normal, and there's nothing wrong with that, reflecting the fact that the prohibition of imitating the non-Jews, of Chukas Hagoyim, doesn't mean imitating the secular Jews, imitating the secular non-Jews. It means imitating religious practices found in faiths other than Judaism. So the Rav was very much opposed to stained glass windows under this rationale, because the Rav thought that stained glass windows were not an attempt to imitate the aesthetic beauty of secular society, but was instead a practice to imitate churches. If that's true, then the Rav's objection is 100% correct. The Rav felt very strongly that the only place you found stained glass windows other than synagogues were churches. And since this is just something we were taking from churches, it was not appropriate to have stained glass windows. Other halachic authorities felt that that wasn't true and that you saw stained glass windows in other beautiful places and it was simply a mark of beauty. And that we were allowed to make our synagogues look beautiful like any other nice buildings look beautiful. But the Rav's point exactly is important. In order for something to be prohibited as a Chukas Hagoyim problem, it has to be an attempt to grab a ritual from a faith other than Judaism. If we're grabbing a secular practice, that's not at all problematic. Based on this, Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin notes that it's the practice of Jews in Western democracies to celebrate the Independence Day of their nation. French Jews celebrate Bastille Day. American Jews celebrate July 4th. British Jews celebrate the saving of Parliament from Cromwell's attempt to blow it up. And so on and so forth. And that Jews in various different nationalities observe secular holidays in some way. And when you press them to explain why the Jews are out celebrating Bastille Day in France, the answer is that they say they live in a secular republic. And the celebration of Independence Day is not a religious event. It's a secular event designed to thank the government for creating such a wonderful environment. I think that that analysis is halachically correct, and that when you stop and look at celebration of secular holidays, you need to always keep track of these variables. You need to ask yourself, is the holiday in its origin secular or Jewish? Then you need to ask yourself a second question, which is, if its origins are Christian, has it completely lost its Christian origins? If the answer to that question is yes, then I think it's still appropriate for Jews to stay away from celebrating holidays of Christian origins, but I don't think it's absolutely halakhically prohibited. So when you start using this mode of analysis, we can quickly go through secular holidays. Let's start with my favorite, Valentine's Day. St. Valentine's Day, that's right. So St. Valentine's Day is an exceptionally problematic holiday. It clearly comes from the Catholic tradition. It's called St. Valentine's Day. It marks the celebration of a Catholic saint. Its origins are traced. On the other hand, when you look around in the society that you're part of, what do you see? You see almost no Christian marking of St. Valentine's Day. Indeed, its name has been changed in our society from St. Valentine's Day with its deeply Christian origins to what? Valentine's Day. And it celebrates not a Catholic saint with an inclination to religious spirituality in a marriage construct. It instead celebrates romance generally, or love and affection. And it slowly moved from its Christian origins to being a secular holiday. This is exactly a situation where I think it's appropriate to be strict and not celebrate. On the other hand, it's worth stopping and asking, what exactly is celebration? Rav Moshe here makes a very interesting point. Rav Moshe says, with regard to eating turkey on Thanksgiving, he said, look, it's one thing to celebrate a holiday by doing an activity that you never do unless you're celebrating, like fireworks. It's another thing, he says, to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. He says, turkey's a good thing to eat, and you can eat turkey anytime you want, including Thanksgiving Day. So I think the analysis of Valentine's Day goes the same way, which is bringing flowers or chocolate to somebody that you love is a good thing. It isn't always a good thing. It's probably a good thing if husbands came home every day with flowers and chocolate. If you can't come home every day with flowers and chocolate, you should try to come home once a week with flowers and chocolate. It's the secret to success in a good marriage. Coming home on Valentine's Day with flowers and chocolate, I don't think is usser either. I think celebrating in any significant way, like adding a Valentine's Day card, is more halachically problematic, and people should, Baalei Nefesh should be strict to avoid that, as Rav Moshe says with regards to Thanksgiving. But when it comes to adopting rituals of politeness, or niceness, or love and affection, these are values that the Torah puts forward all the time. If we do them on specific days, that's not an intrinsically bad thing. We'll move from St. Valentine's Day to July 4th. So I think July 4th is an intrinsically secular holiday. It has no Christian origins at all. And since it has no Christian origins at all, a Jew can fully celebrate July 4th. What do I mean by that? If your local governmental authority holds a public event on July 4th to celebrate American independence, you can go and participate. You know, if you live overseas, the United States Embassy overseas almost always runs a July 4th reception celebrating American independence overseas. I think you can go in that situation. And if you're in a place where people celebrate July 4th ritually, you can go and participate in a July 4th ritual celebration. Fireworks, or a public celebration, or in the state of Georgia, customarily on July 4th, the governor holds a public assembly in which he gives a patriotic speech. You can go and participate. I know these things are viewed as uncalled for in New York, but in the South, where people really are believers in the American dream, people celebrate July 4th ritually. I think that you can participate in a July 4th ritual celebration. You can go to an event, you can participate in a July 4th cookout, and you can mark the event in any celebratory way. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch notes that the practice was 500 years ago that people celebrated the coronation of the king in that way. The coronation of the king roughly corresponds to July 4th. I don't think that that's problematic at all. So too, I think, events like Memorial Day, which commemorate the those who died fighting for the wars of the United States, and Labor Day, with whatever exactly it commemorates. Both of these are fully and completely secular holidays. A Jew who served in a foreign service, who served in the United States Army, who wants to put on his uniform and march in a Veterans Day march, I think is a good thing to do. I encourage Jews who are veterans to put on their uniform and march in public so the people should know that we too participated in the wars of this country. It's a Kiddush Hashem. And even if the march ends with a celebration, an address, kosher food, a cookout outside, if the food is kosher, so it's appropriate for religious Jews to participate in these secular events. It's not a good thing when people look at Veterans Day and all the veterans who are marching and they don't see any Jews participating. It's a Kiddush Hashem when a religious Jew volunteers to serve in the army. And it's a Kiddush Hashem when a World War II veteran marches on Veterans Day. So people should know that we too were there participating in the wars of this country. We all didn't head off to yeshiva to learn when everybody else went out to fight. So it's important to understand that Veterans Day is a way of asserting that we too are public participants in this great country. I think neither Veterans Day nor Labor Day are halachically problematic. They're exclusively American holidays with no non-Jewish origins. Thanksgiving was the subject, we said, of an enormous dispute between Rav Huttner, Rav Moshe, and the Rav. I think Rav Huttner's analysis has been rejected by the sense of the Minhag America, as well as for good halachic reasons. I think Rav Moshe's analysis is plausible. Rav Moshe says You can celebrate by changing your schedule, but since he's not sure if it has Jewish or Christian origins, he doesn't think you should participate in a Thanksgiving tekes, a Thanksgiving celebration. I, who think Thanksgiving has no non-Jewish origins at all, has no Christian origins, and think of it only as an American holiday, tell people that if they want to, they can participate even in a Thanksgiving celebration. I don't perceive myself at all to be somebody who could argue on matters of halacha with Rav Moshe, but my argument with Rav Moshe here is not about halacha, it's about secular history. Where does Thanksgiving come from, and does it have Christian origins? Rav Moshe thinks it has Christian origins. I feel comfortable asserting that I think Thanksgiving has no Christian origins in any significant way. Now, when you talk about something like Christmas, so here we have to lay out a line very clearly. Christmas is a non-Jewish holiday. Notwithstanding the fact that it's a non-Jewish holiday, it has secular ramifications, which we benefit from. There's no alternate side of the street parking on Christmas. You don't have to say, since I don't celebrate Christmas, I'm going to move my car anyway, because that's silly. You have to recognize the fact that the non-Jewish world is out there celebrating Christmas. You can't ignore that celebration. Now, when you want to deal with something harder, like you're in an office with a Christmas party, and going to the office Christmas party is de rigueur, it's part of the sociology of the community, here you're in a much harder situation. And I think you have to look closely at the tone and nuance to determine what's going on. If you're at an office that has a holiday party, which makes no mention of Christmas at all, I think that a person who feels economic pressure to participate in holiday parties can. It's a conscious attempt to run a more pluralistic party, recognizing the fact that many of the people who work aren't Christian, or even if they're Christians, they don't believe in any way, shape, or form. And that once it changes its name from a Christmas party to a holiday party, I think that a Jew who feels that not going to the holiday party for a little bit to show their face will suffer repercussions, I think halacha permits that. Going to something that's explicitly labeled a Christmas party, where there's a Christmas tree and there's caroling and there's overt Christian celebration, I think is something that a person should stay away from in all but the most dire circumstances. When I was working in a law firm, they used to tell the story of the office Christmas party where I was working, where a partner turned to a five-year-old boy who was there, it was the only party you could bring your children to, and said, "Sonny, what do you want for Christmas?" His five-year-old boy looked up and said, "I want God to destroy this building." To destroy this building! And the partner was just incredibly taken aback. That's an astonishing wish for a five-year-old at a Christmas party. And the partner looked up and said, "How come?" And he said, "Well, if God destroys this building, maybe my daddy will be home sometime." So that's a complicated conversation, not about celebrating Christian holidays, but about what happens to your children when you go to work much more than you're supposed to do so. But it's important to understand that if you're in an office environment where there's a Christmas party, and it's so labeled a Christmas party, I think you're supposed to say, "I'm sorry, I'm Jewish, I can't go." I think that in such a situation, the social practice in the United States is offices don't run Christmas parties, they run holiday parties. I work at a Methodist university in Atlanta. We're very nominally connected to the Methodist Church, but we don't run a Christmas party. We do run a December holiday party out of deference to the fact that many, many, many of the employees don't celebrate Christmas, although they get into the holiday season of less work and more to drink. And I think that in a situation in which there's a holiday party, and you feel that if you don't participate, that'll be looked down on and your livelihood will be endangered, but you can participate. I'm much less comfortable saying that with regard to a Christmas party, exactly because the invocation of a Christmas party goes to the core of a Christian origins. And I think that you need to stay away from any party or social event whose fundamental theme revolves around a religion other than Judaism. The same thing would be in a different culture, a Good Friday event or an Easter event. All of these are things that you have to stay away from absolutely, totally, and completely. New Year's Day, I think, is analogous to Valentine's Day at some level. It started as a Christian event. It has slowly and completely transferred itself into an excuse for a party. And whatever one thinks of New Year's Eve parties are, I suspect, without absolutely any Christian origins at all. They're not about Christianity. They're about all sorts of values that might be incompatible with orthodoxy, but those values are not about Christianity. Those values are about partying and drinking and otherwise inappropriate behavior. But a person who's invited to a Christmas, to a New Year's Eve party, can go to a New Year's Eve party without any halakhic construct, assuming otherwise the conduct is proper. And certainly if you're in an office setting where at 4 o'clock before New Year's Day all the employees get together to share a beer or something like that, I think that halakha permits this. And of course the mundane celebration of New Year's Eve. I gather in New York City now the subway is free New Year's Eve to reduce drunk driving. You certainly can go on the subway for free. No more? In Atlanta, the small subway system is free New Year's Eve to reduce drunk driving. And somebody says, well, how can I celebrate in that way? The answer is it's like alternate side of the street parking. To not recognize the reality of the society around you and say, since I don't celebrate Christmas Day, I'll move my car anyway, that nobody should think that. I think that that's not at all required as a matter of halakha. The holiday that I think is most hard to celebrate is, interestingly enough, Halloween. I think Halloween is exceptionally halakhically problematic because Halloween involves an irrational practice, not a rational practice. And even though I don't perceive the Christian origins hanging over Halloween intensely, the truth is that Halloween derives from a Celtic practice that was clearly pagan, a classical Avodah Zarah, if there ever was one. Now, it's true, it's transformed itself into just an excuse for a party. But the way we party is irrational on Halloween. We dress up, we go around trick-or-treating. It's not, like the Ramah says, a rational secular practice. Chocolate is a rational secular practice because chocolate is good. When somebody comes to me and hands me chocolate, I eat it. In my office during the month of December, they put out the holiday-colored M&Ms. Now, the truth is that I have a fondness for M&Ms. And even though they're the green and red M&Ms, the truth is I'm coming and going by my secretary's desk. You know what I'll do? I'll take some M&Ms. My wife says I shouldn't. And she's right, I shouldn't. But not for halakhic reasons. Or maybe for halakhic reasons, but not for these halakhic reasons. And not only that, sometimes the truth is I'll decide I want M&Ms, and I'm not walking by, so I'll make an excuse to walk by to grab a few M&Ms. And when somebody says, but aren't the green and red M&Ms the Christmassy M&Ms? I tell them the truth, which is M&Ms are good. And the color doesn't really affect the goodness of the M&Ms. And I'm not eating them because they're Christmassy. I'm eating them because they're good. Ramos's point is that that's a rational activity. Halloween, if it involved collecting candy, going door to door collecting candy, truth is I would be out. So would many of you. Candy is good. No matter what age you are, when somebody says, do you want a piece of chocolate? The common response is, yes, I want a piece of chocolate. But once you tell me you're going to dress up, and you're going to put on a costume, and you're going to invoke ghosts and goblins, that already comes too close to a pagan practice for me, and I think it's prohibited. I think it's prohibited because it's an irrational practice without a foundation in either secular tradition or a rational practice. And since it's without a foundation in either a secular tradition or a rational practice, the wearing of a costume to trick-or-treat is problematic in ways that collecting kosher candy is not at all problematic. The irrationalness of the activity is, I think, what generates the prohibition according to the Ramah. We can't explain why we're wearing costumes on Halloween other than by reference to its Christian origins or its Celtic pagan origins. And once you're doing an activity that can only be explained in reference to its pagan origins, you're on very thin halachic ice, and you should stay far away from skating there. That's not true for candy. That's not true for candy. By the way, in my office, they put out Halloween candy as well in a jar. You know what I do? If it's kosher, I take it. My wife doesn't like that either. But again, not for halachic reasons. But when you ask me and say, what are you doing eating that candy? It's Halloween candy. I say, no, no, no. It's just candy. It happens to be out on Halloween, but my fondness for chocolate doesn't derive from it being Halloween or Christmas. My fondness for chocolate is my fondness for chocolate. And it's important to understand that the Ramah's point is that when you have a practice that can be rationally explained in a reasonable way, what you have is something that's mutter as a matter of halakha. Halloween is thus exceptionally problematic, not because you're collecting chocolate, but because you're putting on a costume. And the same thing is definitely true for any celebration of Christmas that involves anything Christmassy, or any other holiday whose core historical origins derive from Christian practice. So we'll review and then I'll take some questions. Halakha maintains, normative halakha, the mainstream view adopted by most poskim, is that halakha permits the celebration of secular holidays and absolutely prohibits the celebration of any Christian or any other holidays from any other religion. So American holidays like July 4th or Thanksgiving Day or Labor Day or Memorial Day are permitted to fully celebrate. You can march on Veterans Day. You can have a cookout on July 4th. You can go to a governor's speech lauding the importance of labor on Labor Day. All of these are permitted as a matter of Jewish law. When it comes to holidays with Christian origins, if the Christian origins are still resonating in our society, then it's absolutely prohibited to consciously celebrate any of these holidays, but you can incidentally celebrate the fact that people don't go to work on that day. Like, for example, by not moving your car on alternate side of the street parking on Christmas Day, or scheduling davening later, or having a wedding on Christmas Day. All of these things, I think, are mutter as a matter of halacha to celebrate. As the Christian origins diminish, when you reach the point where you think a holiday has completely lost its Christian origins, if the mode of celebration is rational, then I think it's only appropriate for pious people to be strict. If the mode of celebration is irrational, like the donning of a Halloween costume on Halloween, then I think halacha prohibits that irrational celebration of a holiday with pagan origin. Thank you very much, and now I'm open to a round of questions. We'll start on this side and go around the room. The origin of dressing up on Purim, I think, is Jewish. Nope. You have to show me that, but I think we have some indigenous irrational practices in halacha by dressing up on Purim. It's allowed to adopt our own irrational practices. I have no reason to think that Halloween came from it. I think market day, you would say, is a commercial activity and not a ritual activity at all. So a passive participant, the question was, can you engage in passive participation in Halloween by leaving candy out or something like that? I think if you feel that it leads to hatred of Jews, if you don't leave candy out, mishum eva, that conduct is permissible, but ideally it's to be discouraged. On the other hand, if you're worried that the trick-or-treaters will vandalize your house, then it's certainly permissible as a matter of halacha. I can't hear you. So I think that an American Jew can, the question of can you participate in foreign celebrations of a nation other than America living here? I think so. I think you can participate in the Bastille Day celebration if you feel that connection to French independence. I don't know why you'd want to, but that's a different question. So I think a person whose parents feel that they should be honored on Mother's Day and Father's Day, it's a mitzvah to honor your parents on Mother's Day and Father's Day if that's the expectation of your parents. In my family, the children celebrate Mother's Day because their mother wants to be honored, their father because he's grumpy and doesn't care. There's no celebration of Father's Day. That's the way my children read the data. So I think that if we were in charge of the world, we would not use the secular calendar, but it's already become fully secular. People who are not at all participants in Christianity or in Zoroastrian religion nonetheless base themselves on the secular calendar, and it's transformed itself from a Christian calendar to a fully secular calendar, and I think because that transformation is nearly complete, we all look at the secular calendar as completely halachically permissible. We date our secular documents by the secular calendar. I don't think so. Meaning I didn't discuss tzniut issues. I don't think it's a problem for men and women to march together, but I haven't discussed the tzniut issues of any of this. It's a separate topic. As to why a person would know a soldier is Jewish, the answer is that soldiers wear name tags. And I think it's a big Kiddush Hashem when you see a Veterans Day with a soldier whose last name is Goldstein. Mistama, Soldier Goldstein is Jewish. And not only Mistama is Soldier Goldstein Jewish, normal people look at Soldier Goldstein. You know what they say? Oh, he's Jewish. So I think it's a big Kiddush Hashem when a soldier with the last name Goldstein marches in Veterans Day. I can't hear you. People don't take Halloween so seriously, so I don't think it's mamash avodah zara, but I certainly think it's incredibly problematic to adopt the Celtic cult of death issues. Although the truth is that I think if you stop most secular people, they would say, oh, I'm dressing up like Pebbles or Bam Bam or Fred Flintstone, not as a mark of a pagan ritual. It's hard to appreciate a religion that worships Fred Flintstone. Okay. So I think it's more problematic, by the way, to dress as a ghost than to dress as Fred Flintstone. I just have a hard time closely connecting any faith to the Flintstones. I grew up watching, meaning you might be correct, it might be more problematic to dress as a ghost or a goblin than it is to dress up as a television character. I think that that's probably correct. The question is, can you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? So I think that St. Patrick's Day has a clear Catholic origin. The Catholic origins have been diminished over time, and it's just become a drunk Irishman's holiday. And if you think that the Irishness of the holiday has so completely overwhelmed its Catholic origins that it no longer has any connection to Catholicism, and then it's just Irish, that I think it would be analogous to any Christian holiday whose Christian origins have completely disappeared. It would be analogous then to Halloween, and Abal Nefesh should be strict. But normal people, if it's completely lost its Catholic origins, Abal Nefesh should be strict, and others can be lenient. I've never looked closely at St. Patrick's Day to determine whether it's still tightly celebrated in the Catholic Church. I suspect that most of the celebrants of St. Patrick's Day are still Catholic, whereas I think most of the celebrants of St. Valentine's Day are not Catholic. And I think that that's an important data point to ponder. When normal secular people do this, you know, the local Hindus in my neighborhood, they go trick-or-treating. And they certainly celebrate New Year's Day. They don't celebrate Christmas. I doubt they celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but I don't really know. This would be driven a lot by the data rather than by anything else. Thank you very much.